Why aren't we putting Wentz back? Why aren't we putting Wentz in?
Sets after a five-step drop. Zings it to the right side. The pass is caught by a tumbling Ryan Smith out of bounds after he brings it in at the 35.
In the Bison quarterback, 14 of 21, 187 yards and two touchdowns. Ryan Smith, one of his three catches there. He had 59 yards for the Bison, and the Bison move on actually quite easily over Coastal Carolina. Final score, NDSU 48, Coastal 14. This is the Bison Rewind Show. Ryan Gellner, Norm Bell from just outside the Bison team room. The Bison have finished their post-game interviews, and we now invite you to call the show, 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. It's the most dominant half of football I have ever seen NDSU play, period, ever. That first half was absolutely unbelievable, and I want to hear your thoughts. Have you seen better football than what NDSU put out there in the first half? 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346.
When he came back in, it seemed like there's something wrong with him still. And then the third one I wanted to make, I thought the third one. I think those were the points, but it's just frustrating.
Yeah, I hear you, Cody, and I hear a little frustration there. To a couple of those points, to me it's the head coach that makes those decisions based upon what the docs tell him. And I think the reason you do it is because this Coastal Carolina team averaged 43 points a game.
Yeah.
They can score in a hurry.
Yeah.
Put two touchdowns in a row together, this is a totally different football game, and you don't want that to happen.
Well, they score one more time. They've cut the lead to less than 14 points, and, 34-21, a whole new ball game. So, yeah, if they say they're good to go and the doc says they're good to go, you got to play them until it's in doubt.
I had a coach that used to tell me, you dance with who brung you. Brock Jensen got the team here. Colton Hegel got the team here. Those other guys got the team here. You dance with them. You keep going. Yeah, I think in a real ideal world, you would rest some of those guys.
Yeah.
Especially when they're hurt. But the backs are against the wall now. And I know they had a 30-point lead. I understand that. But a 30-point lead can become a 14-point lead in just a couple offensive series.
Yeah.
And that's a scary thing about playing a team like Coastal Carolina. 237-5948. We go to Chuck in Fargo. Hi, Chuck.
My biggest concern for this game, like so many other people, is how the team would react to Bowles' announcement. And I thought one of the options was this is only going to make this team focus that much more in this game. And frankly, I think that turned out to be the case.
Not far from it. That's a great take, Chuck. Some of these seniors will not be denied. And I think that's a great point by Chuck. If they needed any extra motivation, well, that may have been it right there.
Well, the seniors are going to – they wanted to show that, hey, this team is much more than just the head coach. Yeah, they love him. He's great and all, but they put in work also, and they are the reason why they are where they are.
Let's go to Guy calling in Fargo. Guy, Bison win at 48-14. What's up?
Thanks, guys. It's not like you – we haven't suspected that this is a powerful team or what might call the dynasty, and we're very fortunate. But I wanted to say my first reaction, too, on Eastern Washington. Isn't it true that when this strong team was emerging, the last team to knock them off was Eastern Washington at their home?
In the playoffs,
I couldn't remember for sure. Yes.
Yeah, Eastern Washington a couple years ago in the playoffs.
Now, this Towson is quite a team, right? Running, powerful running.
Yes,
I want to see
they
what they are. And Eastern Illinois, of course, I was up on right now. I talked to a brother-in-law of mine who works in Indiana coaching and asked him if he had any former students, high school, that were Eastern Washington. I didn't know much, but I thought they and so thank you for the comments, and I enjoy your show immensely.
Thank you so much. We will break down Eastern Washington, who plays Jacksonville State. We'll talk a little bit more about Towson, and of course we're going to get to New Hampshire and Southeastern Louisiana, who play at 6 o'clock. We're going to break that one down as well a little bit later in the show, so stay tuned. One more call before the break. Let's go to John calling from Minnesota. Hi, John. Bison win.
Yes, they do. It was a great game to be at. I got one question. It's actually something to do with the pregame activity. I've seen a lot of sporting events, and I can't remember where a team wasn't on the field for the national anthem prior to the game. What's your thoughts on that? I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Well, it's happened all season long, and it's the new landscape of college football. We touched on this either last week or the week before, and it's what happens in college football. And I think, Norm, correct me if I'm wrong, but the conclusion we came to the other week was because of all the fanfare and all the festivities that go on just before the national anthem. For instance, the Bison running through the tunnel. The other team's coaches, and it's not just the other teams, it's across college football, the visiting teams don't want any of that. They don't want their players to get in lip service with the fans, anything like that. They don't want them to see the tunnel walk. They don't want them to see the fireworks. They don't want them to see the bulldog walking down the middle of the field, whatever it is you do in pregame. They'd rather keep their team in the locker room. Unfortunately, that also happens at the same time as the national anthem, but it's been happening for the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, in today's game, it's all about entertainment, and the pregame festivities and things are ramped up so much because it's a battle for entertainment dollars. So, you know, teams aren't just running out on the field and saying go Bison. They're doing things that keep the fans entertained. And when you have a team in the visiting locker room, you want to have as much time with them before they go out into that as you can get. It's loud in here. The communication's not going to be that great. So you take those opportunities. If you don't have to be out there, you stay in.
Bison will play the winner between New Hampshire and southeastern Louisiana. That game 7:05 Friday evening. We'll preview that a little bit later. We expect the athletic director, Gene Taylor, to drop by. And more of your phone calls. It's the Bison Rewind Show. Bison are on to the semifinals. That'll be next week in Fargo. This is the Mighty 790 KFGO. On a dusty road. Good
loving. I've got a truck. A quarterback run. Jensen around the left end at the 45, 40, 35, 30. One man to beat, and he's picked up from behind inside the 15-yard line. Brock Jensen with a fist pump. The Bison are fired up, and they have a first down deep in shot to clear territory.
How about this Bison football team? What do you want to say? Statement made. Distractions? Uh-uh. One of the best teams scoring-wise in the nation coming into the Fargo Dome. Think they're going to put the smackdown on the Bison? No. No, didn't happen. Bison defense came out, played well. Bison win this thing. Final score 48-14. The athletic director, Gene Taylor, around the corner. Let's continue with phone calls. 237-5948. It is the Essentia Health Bison Rewind Show. John got on just before the break, held throughout the break. Thanks, John. What's up?
You know, Bison Nation was pretty upset with the timing of the announcement of bowl last week, but when you think about it, the Wyoming AD leaking this to CBS couldn't have been better timing for Wyoming because they're, you know, Bison are on a national stage. Everybody's seeing Bull and his staff, and what young high school kid wouldn't think, boy, what a great place to play and a great guy to play for in Craig Bull when he starts out there.
Yeah, valid points, John. That certainly could have been where they were going, but, yeah, you know, that's things that we're not talking about. What an opportunity for these Wyoming kids to get a shot now to see North Dakota State and their next head coach, quite possibly their next offensive, quite possibly their next defensive system, on the TV in front of them, in front of a national stage. That's pretty cool stuff for a team sitting in Wyoming that's wondering what they're going to get in their head coach.
It's cool in the fact that, yeah, you get to see your new head coach in action. But I would safely assume that the guys in Wyoming are thinking, you know what, yeah, well, I just want to get him here so we can get this thing going.
But even as a position player, say you're the quarterback watching, you're going, oh, yeah, I like this system. Yeah, this suits me just fine. Or if you're the running back or an offensive lineman, you're going, I mean, you've got to be watching those things. You've got to be seeing those schemes and some of the things they're doing and go, okay, yeah, I fit in this system. On the other hand, you might go, oh, boy, I'm going to have to make some adjustments.
Yeah, it's a different level, and I think guys think on that level, that it's a different level.
Dewey, you're next on the Bison Rewind Show. What's up?
Awesome game.
Yeah.
Hello? Awesome game. I was just wondering what if you think that maybe Phil Hansen could be on the short list for maybe a coaching position for the Bison next year.
I think the Bison fans would certainly enjoy that. Phil's a name that has been around for a long time and a name that Bison Nation has come to address, but I think when you look at all the factors and all the things, Phil doesn't have the coaching experience that you would want to coach at this level of FCS college football. I think it's safe to assume that Phil Hansen is not on that short list, but hey, anything and everything is possible right now, but I think the Bison will go after somebody with some coaching experience. I think the Bison will go after somebody that is either, I really think it's going to come from in staff. I think we could hear as early as tomorrow that the Bison have a new head coach. And if it's tomorrow, that means it's somebody in staff, somebody that coached here in the Fargo Dome today. If not, it's going to be a couple days down the road. But I think sooner rather than later, and Gene Taylor told us within the next 10 days, he certainly hopes to have a head coach named. To me, that's really leaning towards somebody on staff. And
the two coordinators put on a show today.
Didn't they? The defensive coordinator gives up 14 points to a team that hadn't scored under 26 all season long. The offensive coordinator puts up dang near 50 points.
And over 600 yards total offense.
Good stuff. My man CeCe on line six. What's up?
Hey, guys. 2 years ago, you and I went around and around about NDSU to the FBS. These games are just getting way out of hand. I mean, the competition is not there for NDSU. Our coach and the staff is going to Wyoming. And I say Gene Taylor and Dean Bresciani need to get out to the Mountain West, start lobbying every day, and let's get out there and play those teams. This is, we're a bigger town than what we think. A lot of these callers and fans, you're bigger than what you are, guys. It's time to step up.
Yeah, but Sam, the last couple of years, it's all been going good. And I don't know, Sam. You think
come
that?
Come on, you're the same.
I know,
guy.
I know. I'm with you.
Oh, you can't go to the Metrodome and beat the Gophers. We did. You can't beat Kansas State. We did. I mean, seriously.
Sam, I'm with you. But times are so good now. What happens when they're not so good?
It's about selling tickets, also.
So you want to be the biggest? You guys just want to be trophy chasers, right?
No. I'm not. Nah, I'm not saying that either, Sam. I'm just future. We don't know what the future holds, and I would hate for this thing to go the other way, and then we've got a 30,000-seat stadium, and we've got 10,000 going to the game. That's no fun either.
I agree with you in the aspect that the competition is just not there for them anymore. It's just not there. The teams that they're playing, a lot of these schools are in regions where the players are picked over, so they're getting what's left, and they don't have the luxury of North Dakota State to maybe take an athlete the likes of Marcus Williams and put him on defense. They have to use all their resources on offense as to where these guys can put really good players on defense and field the team.
So, 1,500 fans of Eastern Illinois last night. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's sad. That's sad. I'm with you there.
I'm ready to pump it up. Let's go.
Hey, pump it up, Sam. Let's go to Don. I gave him a chance to say pump it up, and he only said it once. Let's go to Don. What's up, Don?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Well, good. The Bison win and move on. We're happy about that.
Yeah, well, absolutely. They look good, and I just I can't disagree with this previous caller more. I mean, I think NDSU is where they need to be. I mean, the jump from D2 to FCS, yep, that's not a problem. But I just think that anyone that thinks we need to move to the Mountain West, you know, or something like that to possibly play in some toilet bowl, I mean, really, this is what real college football is, with a playoff system. I mean, yeah, we can play. I mean, we're never going to get a team here anyways, a big team. You know, if we want to play in Nebraska or something, we're going to still end up going there. I mean, I just think it's asinine. I don't know where these people get their ideas that we're going to go D1 in football. Let's look at basketball and wrestling. We aren't doing anything in that. We've been a D1 for, what, 6 years now?
Yep.
Well, the reason why you won't get a Nebraska or a team like that is because you can't accommodate their fans. They need 19,000 tickets. So, that's out of the question.
If you could guarantee that of what's going on now will continue for the next 10 years, I would jump at it. And I don't think it's going to be a drastic fall off, but it's got to fall off.
Yeah.
Mathematics say this has got to fall off. You cannot continue this for time after time after time. As far as a bigger stadium, I disagree with that. I think they can keep this stadium. They can go to whatever level they want. Ask Duke basketball if they want a bigger stadium or need a bigger stadium. No, they got one of the smallest. They jam-packed that thing, and it is what it is. If you don't have a ticket, you don't have a ticket.
It's a requirement at the next level, though. It's a requirement.
Let's go to Maury in West Fargo. A couple more calls, and then we'll take our final break. Hey, Maury.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Another win.
Yeah, you know what? That was a good win. See, just a question about the opponent coming in next time. What are the pros and cons of either team of Southeast Louisiana or New Hampshire? Which team would be a better fit for us to have coming in here? Or just your comments on that, guys. I'd like to hear it. Thanks.
Real quickly, I'd rather see New Hampshire next weekend. I don't think that's going to happen. We'll break that down in just a second. We're going to take a break. We're going to visit with Gene. Actually, let's do a little breakdown right now. Gene Taylor should be coming down the steps for our final segment. So let's talk about New Hampshire. They lost to Towson in October and started the season 1-3. They scored 86 points so far in the playoffs. They're very offensive. Southeastern Louisiana has won 10 consecutive. They beat Sam Houston State twice this year. They're led by a junior quarterback who's a transfer from Oregon, and they average 40 points a game. They're a pretty good football team. I would rather see New Hampshire come in here just because of the way they started. Southeastern Louisiana has really had things going the entire season. They lost to Texas Christian. They also lost to South Dakota State University late in the season. They've got a pretty good running back, a really good quarterback. I just, for some reason, rather see New Hampshire. You know anything about either team?
Not really. I know New Hampshire. If New Hampshire comes, they might have to shut everything down because the president, Vice President Biden likes to travel with them.
Let's go. We'll find a seat for him. Nosebleed section. Mike in Sioux Falls, let's fit you in, then we'll take our final break and come back with the athletic director. Hi, Mike.
Hey, thanks for the call, taking the call, guys. Nice to talk to you. It's been a few weeks. Hey, you know, I just want to comment on this FBS versus FBS thing. Now, first of all, you can't be reckless like Lakes would suggest here to go into FBS or what have you. But with that said, there's almost certainly going to be a major realignment in Division I football with perhaps the BCS rules somehow, BCS conferences, the auto-qualifying conferences breaking away to some degree. If that happens, NDSU needs to be at whatever that next run down. So I firmly disagree with the previous caller. If he doesn't think NDSU might have to move up here in the near term to be playing schools that may be in the MAC or what have you, those are definitely tier schools that NDSU should be playing with. So I think we just got to keep our eyes and ears open and look for the opportunity where to go. And yes, guys, we're going to have to look at the stadium at some point. It's not big enough, and they're going to have to look at it. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Athletic Director Gene Taylor said earlier on in the season that whatever the situation is at the next level, NDSU will be assured to be one level beneath it at some point in time.
Sure. Well, college football is changing as well. FCS is changing as we speak. FBS is changing. There's so many intangibles. To me, it just doesn't make sense right now. If you could guarantee what's happened in the last 3-4 years continue for the next 10, then yeah, let's go. But, it's a slippery slope. Man, have we opened up a can of worms. Hey, let's talk to the athletic director when we come back. Final break. This is the mighty 790 KFGO Bison win, 48-14, back in three.
Trips receivers right, single wide left. Ross takes the snap, quarterback run. He's wrapped up and thrown down at the line of scrimmage by big Levon Perry. Levon says, you can go ahead and run up the middle if you'd like, but I'm going to be here all day long.
Levon Perry gave all sorts of fits to Coastal Carolina, as did the entire Bison defense. Coastal Carolina averaged somewhere near 500 yards of total offense, well, 210 yards under that today coming in. They hadn't scored. The least they had scored was 26, only get 14 today. What an effort by the Bison defense. What an effort by the Bison, winning 48-14. Real quickly, Eastern Washington and Jacksonville State are underway, scoreless midway through the first quarter. We'll update that before we go. We have the athletic director at North Dakota State with us on the Bison Rewind Show, brought to you by Essentia Health. Gene, congratulations. I don't know if anybody expected quite a dominant dominant game that you guys just played.
Well, you know, when you look at their offense throughout the year, just how much they scored and how quickly they scored, certainly a great job by our coaching staff and our players to really focus on this game and prepare tremendously. And they went out and executed. They started hot. Like you said, a lot of people talk, we had a fast start today, and boy, clearly they did not let down. Maybe one drive in the towards the end of the first half, maybe the second half. But I tell you what, they were they were fired up and they were hitting hard, and Coastal walked into a buzzsaw this weekend.
Yeah, they really did. You had a chance to talk with the Coastal AD or any of those players, and did they tell you anything about the dominance of this football team?
You know, I talked to Hunter, their AD, a little bit last night. You know, they're clearly impressed with what we've done here collectively, not just obviously the football team's success, but just how we, you know, built the crowd and the tailgating. They talked about that. And, you know, so certainly I think that's where they'd like to be someday, is to be able to build a program like that. And, that, you know, the quarterback in the press conference, their quarterback said, you know, we know where we need to go. And so I think they're very complimentary. I not think they're very complimentary of our program. They're very impressed, but I'm not so sure they weren't really convinced that they were not still going to be able to do a lot more of us against us on offense than they did.
Same thing I thought. I heard it wasn't as loud here as it was at Montana. As it was,
you know,
at Montana.
I give them credit; they're confident. You know, even in a 48-14 a loss. But yeah, he said they asked him,
the quarterback
asked him, was the noise have a factor? He said no, it was louder in Montana than it was here. So, well, you know, I guess he's out there playing, so he would know. It's, I thought it was still plenty loud, and you know, they didn't have any false starts or anything, so I guess you know, they'd certainly prepared for it. But it is loud in here, and well, good for him that he thinks the decibel level in Montana is higher than it is here.
I'm sure.
The thing, well, I guess maybe that gives our fans some motivation for next week.
Yeah, you know, yeah, get a little louder.
Our fans have just been laid down a little bit of a challenge from the quarterback from Coastal Carolina that maybe we need to be a little louder than we were this weekend.
All three of us are married. We know that when you get in a tough spot, sometimes you say things when you're mad that you shouldn't, and it may have happened in that situation with that quarterback. End of subject. Let's move on. Next week, it'll be a Friday 7:05 kickoff against an opponent to be named, either New Hampshire or Southeastern Louisiana. We didn't know last week until 10 o'clock at night. All of a sudden, now we know this week you're on Friday as opposed to Saturday. How's that come about?
Well, I'm not sure. It was unusual. I agreed. I thought it was going to be late after the game, and somebody said, check your email. You got an email from the folks at the NCAA, and it was right in the third quarter, right where they were scoring their 14th point, and it said if North Dakota State wins, they're playing Friday night. If Coastal Carolina wins, that to be determined. So a little uncomfortable about when I got it, but that's good for them that they made that decision. And so maybe, I don't know, maybe they wanted to do that because they could keep staff here. I'm not real sure how that all works for ESPN. But at least we know early. The coaches know because they can already kind of start preparing about what their schedule is going to be like tomorrow, because it does affect their schedule tomorrow,
sure,
without question.
Interested to know, before I let you go, the athletic director take on a Friday night game versus a Saturday afternoon game. Anything different on your end? Any more challenges?
No, not really. I mean, obviously, for the ticket office, they have to turn things just around 24 hours faster. And that's they get stressed out enough. But we did it last year. They're pretty much like clockwork in there, except they're going back right now preparing for an onslaught tomorrow of busy activity in the ticket office and phone calls. You know, from Craig's perspective, you always want that extra day to prepare without, you know, but they're going to have the same thing. Whoever we're playing is going to have to turn around and prepare. So I think coaches have kind of figured it out. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's Friday night game on national television. It's not a bad thing. I think our fans responded well last year on a Friday night game, and I'm sure they'll do it again this year.
So Friday, 7:05, the Bison against either New Hampshire or Southeastern Louisiana. We will see you again Friday, if not before.
Sounds good. Thanks, fellas.
All right, Gene Taylor, athletic director, North Dakota State. His Bison move on. Norm, final thoughts as the Bison live to play another day. They're back in the semifinals. Sure is a lot of fun.
It is. It is. And you know, I was sitting in the press box talking, and I was just turning to someone, and you said, you know, I constantly give the opponents credit. I give them credit. I you know, I talk it up like, you know, hey, you got to watch out for this and watch out for that and watch out for this. And it's always blown out of the water when they line up and play.
It's hard not to.
It's amazing. It is amazing what they do to teams when they come in here. Not even here. They're undefeated on the road also, what, the last 2 years or so?
Mm-hmm.
So it's hats off to the coaching staff, the players. They've bought in, and that's big.
Every time, and you're right, every time we think a team is going to come in here and possibly beat the Bison or have a shot to play with the Bison, it's absolutely opposite.
I can't even wrap my head around the fact that this team, I expected this team to come in, control the ball, be able to move the ball. I didn't expect them to win, but I didn't expect 48-14.
New Hampshire and southeastern Louisiana kick off shortly after 6 o'clock. I think you can find that game on ESPN3. In fact, you can. Southeastern Louisiana, I think, a slight favorite in that football game. It's two offenses going up against each other. Not a lot of defense there. That game could certainly produce about 80 points or so. We'll see what happens there. Eastern Washington and Jacksonville State are still going. And let's check in on that score if we can. And, no, don't have that score right now. Let's see if we can call it up real quick as those two football teams do battle. They will get the Towson. They will get Towson, who defeated Eastern Illinois 49-35, and they did that last week. All right, last week. They did that yesterday and beat them yesterday. Let's see. As I call up a score here, Norm, talk to me a little bit about this Bison football team and what goes into a short week now and how that changes how they prepare as opposed to a long week.
Well, chances are they'll be in tomorrow naturally to, you know, lick the wounds or whatever, but they'll definitely start watching film and maybe get a nice little walk through tomorrow, something light. But Monday they're at it full blow, full bore. You know, maybe they would go in a little lighter on a Monday for a Saturday game, but now, you know, that tomorrow is technically Monday, so their Monday, their week of Monday, so they'll come in and go full bore for the rest of the week to prepare for who they're going to play. They're just waiting to see. I'm sure they have stuff drawn up on both teams already, but I guarantee you someone's in there watching the game, breaking it down.
Eastern Washington has taken a 7-0 lead on Jacksonville State with 5:52 to go in the first quarter. That New Hampshire Southeastern Louisiana game yet to come. The Bison will get the winner of that one here at the Fargo Dome, 7:05 next week. That wraps it up from the Fargo Dome. NDSU wins it again. The Bison now 13-0 in their gold uniforms all time. It's been a nice run. Let's see if they can keep it going. We'll see if they wear gold again next week. Keep it tuned to KFGO. We'll track this coaching thing. If there is a change over the weekend, we will let you know first right here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Bison win. Final time. NDSU moving on. Semifinals. North Dakota State 48. Coastal Carolina 14. For Norm Bell, I'm Ryan Gellner. This is the Bison Rewind Show. NDSU wins on the Mighty 790 KFG 13-0.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone.